What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast, brought to you by the Club app, the number one community for DJs to get paid for your DJ live stream sets. Today, we have Mr. Finer Touch. He's the founder of Finer Touch Entertainment. Brother, can you please introduce yourself to the people, who you are and where you're from?
Yeah, sure. I go by Mr. Finer Touch again, and as you said, the company's Finer Touch Entertainment, but my name is Harold Johnson. I've been in the DJ entertainment industry for going on 30 years now, and I reside in New York, Westchester County, to be exact. And no, that's not upstate. It's not that far out of the city.
Awesome, man. Really glad to have you on the show. So we want to go into your DJ story, man. Talk to us about the beginning days, what sparked your interest to become a DJ, and talk to us about how you got started.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, it's one of those things. You know, I came up, you know, listening to music in my house, you know, mom cleaning the house every morning to like, and she was a very diverse, had a very diverse musical taste. So one week it was Donna Summer. Another week was Lou Rawls, you know, and then at Christmas time, it was Bing Crosby, you know, to go totally the other direction because she just liked music. So I was exposed to that from a very young age. But I don't know, I wanted to be a DJ my entire life. I just thought there was something cool about it. I wanted to be on radio. You know, I was a kid in my room dancing around with 45 records that my aunt gave me. And everybody thought it was a cute little thing, but I was really serious about it. Kept doing it through high school with my DJ partner growing up, 2 turntables and a microphone, you know, how we used to do. And was like, yo, just put me on. I'll DJ for free. I just let me get a set, you know, at the high school parties and whatever. And the older guys, they'd be like, nah, you know, little man, go away. And it was just put me on. I had my crates and I'm in the wings waiting until I finally got that chance here or there. You know, went to college and, same thing, grinding to get into the college clubs and just put me on. And then slowly I started to build a following. And then something interesting happened in college, my second year. I'm looking for a DJ gig on the weekends. And a friend of mine from high school who also went to college with me said, well, you know, I work for this DJ company. Why don't you come and interview? And I'm like, company? Okay, well, all right. You know, and I go interview and he's got an office and this big setup. And I'd never really heard of a DJ with an office. So I'm like, okay, this sounds cool. I'm 19. I don't know. You know, I check it out. I go out on the road with them and I experience this thing that's totally different from anything I've ever seen before. Big 250 person wedding. They do this whole show. And to be honest, it was a little strange to me. But there was 250 other people in the room that were mesmerized by it. And so at the end of the night, I said, I don't know what I just saw, but I have to learn this because you just captivated this room and these people are worshiping us. You know, it was like a Beyonce concert. Like, I don't know. But I said, I have to learn what you just did. And, you know, so I started working with them and then building my own business on the side. Another DJ, which I mentioned earlier, my younger cousin became my protege, DJ Brown Boy. Shout out to him. He's a couple years younger than me and came to me. He's like, yo, I learned to DJ too. And I'm like, okay, whatever, get on, let's see. And he started mixing music. And I'm like, all right, well, we got something here. So I brought him along. We're doing college parties. We start doing weddings, other things like that. Fast forward a few decades later, here I am with a company that does 150 events a year and a roster of about 10 DJs and MCs that work with me. You know, we do event production, lighting, sound, all the things that sort of come along with creating that. What I say is I'm not just a DJ. We create an unforgettable entertainment experience for our clients and their guests. And that's how I like to, you know, we turn up too, though, you know, so don't get that twisted either. You know, I'm buttoned up, but not all the time, you know.
I love it, man. That's a fantastic intro, bro. And I think that this is super amazing because you're not only just a DJ, but you are a legitimate business owner of a team of a lot of DJs and a lot of clients and a lot of events that you're doing yearly. And I think that's truly amazing. I want you to talk on the business side, you know, how Finer Touch Entertainment came to be. Talk to us about kind of the building process of this business and any DJ that's out there that's listening, how can they start building their entertainment company and start from the ground up just like you did?
Sure. So it's been a long journey with a learning experience. With made a lot of mistakes, you know, did a lot of things right, did a lot of things wrong, but you learn from them and you grow. The first thing you need to do is take this as seriously as a business, because if you don't take what you do serious as a business, your client won't either. You know, one of the most insulting things someone said to me, and she didn't mean it that way, but she called me, got pricing, and she said, "Well, I don't understand. You just play music." And I was so offended by that, because I said, "Well, how'd you find me?" "I found you on Facebook." I said, "Okay, that was an ad. That costs money. What'd you see when you clicked on that?" "Oh, really good video." "I had to make that video. It costs money." "You calling me on a phone, it costs money. You went to my beautiful website, that costs money. We're talking at 2:30 in the afternoon on a Wednesday, which costs money. I have to be here to answer the phone for you. All of these things cost money." So in order for me to be able to afford for us to even have this conversation, there has to be some sort of compensation for all the things that you were interested in that made me different from that family DJ that you know but decided not to call for your wedding. And then couple that with my decades of experience, $20,000 a year, which goes into a warehouse that costs money, that goes into a truck that costs money, then insurance I need to get into your catering hall. And I went on, and at the end she goes, "I'm so sorry. You're 100% right. That I was thinking about just my family DJ. I wasn't thinking about the fact that I'm calling a business that runs like a business and has all the things that he didn't have, which is why I was calling you in the first place. But I didn't think about that. And I'm really sorry. Can we start over?" And I said, "Absolutely." Booked the party, did the wedding, rocked the party. And it was a funny story that we told later. You know, so the moral is, This is a business just like anything else, a restaurant, you know, whether I'm selling widgets, it's trucks, it's insurance, it's warehouses, it's offices, it's phones, it's internet, it's compute, it's everything they do in any business. So you need to, yeah, I like to rock the party, whatever. Like, that's just the end product. You know, if you want to elevate yourself to a place where you're running it as a business, then you have to think about all the things that come with it. If you want to just play music and make people happy, that's cool too. That's something different.
That's great insight, man. And I'm super excited to hear more about your entertainment company. And tell me about, what were the first steps that kind of helped you transition from just being a DJ to an owner of an entertainment company? And how can DJs that are just currently out there, you know, doing gigs here and there, can take it from just being a DJ to actually having an entertainment company? And what were the first steps that you took to make that transition?
Sure. Well, I was lucky in that I went to work for a much larger company first. So I had a blueprint to follow. This man built a $1 million business doing weddings and bar mitzvahs and parties. And this was 20 years ago, more than that, even 25 years ago. So it was even more abnormal to hear that someone that could build something like that. And so kudos to him. You know, these days it's a little more feasible that you can be busy and make good money doing this because technology and things are cheaper and it's easier to get there faster. But I think that the way to do it is first kind of define your product or your service, begin to develop and define your brand, and those things are gonna change over time. You know, who do you wanna be? You know, do you want to be the king of the club with an urban style and an urban look? Do you want to be, you know, buttoned up, tuxedo, and distinguished gentleman? Do you want to be a little bit of both? You know, what's your brand look like? Who is your target? You know, and then what are you offering them? What kind of service? And is it just I'm a DJ, or I'm a DJ and an MC, or I'm gonna go find a great MC to pair with my great DJ? What's it going to be? And then you start there and then you build. Okay, I got a great team. Now I want to get lighting. Now I want to get TV screens. Now I want to get sparklers and whatever else you want to add to your offering. And you build out. You know, maybe you start out by renting those things from someone like me who has it already, I'll come in and work for you. And this company is like mine to come in and work with you because it's all a collaboration. Building until you're comfortable enough. Okay, I booked this thing 5 times. Now I can go buy my own. You know, versus getting it and then trying to figure out how to use it. You know, and getting it booked enough to pay for it because this is expensive. You know, you'll spend thousands and thousands on gear and it's like, okay, now I got to pay for this. How am I going to pay for it? And then make money eventually after that. So those are a few things I'd probably, you know, suggest. If you can get up under someone who's already doing it and learn and grow with them, that would be my advice first and foremost.
Yeah, I think that's amazing advice. By being able to learn from someone else that's doing it successfully, you really avoid a lot of the learning curve that you will have in starting your own entertainment business. And you really get that formula or that blueprint that you mentioned, and you're able to go off on your own with already a proven formula to success. I would love to you to give us like a small summary or just an overview of that blueprint that you have, that you learned from, you know, working with the other entertainment company, and kind of just give us just a high level overview of the blueprint of launching your own entertainment company.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it takes on a lot of facets, but basically I learned how to do everything from, I mean, there was a system in place for everything right down to loading the truck the same way every time. I mean, this particular person I worked with, he gave you as a roadie 6 weeks to learn. You learn how to, you know, bring the gear in, tape down wires, do everything the same way. The truck got loaded exactly the same way every time. And there were even marked cardboards to go in between certain pieces of gear so it didn't rub. And if you were left with a piece of cardboard and the truck was loaded front to back, you had to unload the truck to put it where it went or we weren't going home. Like that's how, and it's because you know what to do and you didn't do it right. So fix it. And that sounds crazy to some people, but this way you never lost anything. It was always packed perfectly. Nothing ever got damaged, right? And so it was just systems in place, right down to how to properly tape a wire to the floor. You know, don't buy cheap duct tape from the hardware store. It's gonna rip the paint off the wall. And that seems like nothing until you rip the paint off the wall and the maitre d' sees you and starts screaming at you and says, we don't want you here because you're destroying our venue. All because you bought $2 tape instead of $10 tape, right? Just little stuff like that. Respecting their house, you know, not banging the doors on the way out, not pushing the speaker into the window when you're trying to push the door open. Don't be lazy, you know? Pull your pants up when you come in the door. Like, you want to wear baggy pants in the street? That's cool, but you're representing a company now. Wearing company shirts. I have my company shirt on now. My staff is required to wear those coming in into the venue. When you see 5 guys come into the door, properly dressed, all uniform, knocking it out, right? You're standing 20 feet away saying, yo, they look like they know what they're doing. Like, okay, they're serious. And this is something that's unsaid. You haven't even said hello and you're already making a statement. You know, but if I gotta tell you to pull up your pants, or you wearing those little slider shoes to set up gear. Okay, when you roll your ankle and then you can't work for the next 3 weeks or 4 weeks, that was just dumb on your part. Wear proper shoes. Like, just these are things that are really seem really stupid and little, but when they happen, it's like, really? But if you put policies and process in place and you know what they know is expected of you, you know, they can do whatever they want on their own jobs. But when they come on mine, this is how it has to be. And it's always for the benefit of themselves or the company. You know, I mean, I don't like the way the little slippers look when you're loading in, but more importantly, I don't want you to hurt yourself, you know? And I have a few friends that love to wear those damn slippers. And I'm like, what are you doing? A friend of mine I've known 30 years, he does it to this day, he still does it. Doesn't work for me, but he still does it. And I make fun of him every time. So policies and procedures, and you learn these things as you go, right? You know, as you build your company, and then as you start to work with more and more people and you have to manage more people, you'll learn what works for you and what doesn't, you know, and things that I care about, you might not care about. But I want to build an elite organization. And when Finer Touch comes through the door, I want everybody to be like, yo, they in the building right now. And that's, and we kind of get that sometimes. Like, I walk into the door, they'll see my shirt. Yo, you're Finer Touch, right? This happened to me right before COVID. you would find it to, yeah, you know, whatever. Oh yeah, I know you guys, I actually referred you. Wow, that's amazing, thank you so much. Now we were in Philadelphia. I'm from New York, and someone that knew us from Philadelphia referred us to that client, and that's how we got the job. I didn't even know it. Our reputation got us that, you know? And that's the kind of stuff that will happen when you build, you know, when you build your brand and like I said, you build that reputation. Yo, we're not here to play.
That's amazing advice, man. And DJs, if you're listening to this, please take notes because he's dropping gems right now. And I highly encourage everyone to build a brand and build a team that's going to represent that brand to the highest of its potential, because that brand is going to get you opportunities that you would never understand how you got them, how someone heard about your brand and your company, but you will have opportunities after opportunities based on the strength of your brand. You know, I would love to talk about your ability to build a team and kind of what things that you looked for when you were building your team of DJs and people that work within your company, because it's impossible to do it alone or extremely hard. And finding the right people is not an easy thing. So what are some things that you were able to do to be able to find the right people to build a team to represent your brand and satisfy your clients in the best way possible?
Well, I'll first say it's, for me, it's been two things. I've been extremely blessed and extremely lucky, right? And it's interesting how it happened, because my cousin, he went to college locally. I was doing clubs locally. He had a friend who had a friend. Hey, I want you to introduce you to my friend. He's a DJ, he's pretty good. He goes to school with us. He and I became friends. He started working with me. Hey, my younger brother's got a really great personality for this. He doesn't DJ, but maybe he can roadie and whatever. His brother started working for me. And I'm trying to think back of another friend at his company. He decided to sell his company and said, hey, one of my DJs, he's really good. Why don't you give him a shot? Awesome, come on in. He said, I got a friend, really great. Come on in. I'm trying to think, yeah, all, same thing. Another friend of mine, I'm sitting there telling about some of the issues I was having and I needed a certain type of DJ. I got a friend I'm gonna hook you up with. Here he comes. He brought two more people. So I've been lucky in that the universe has brought these amazing people into my life. They were all reliable, trustworthy, professional people who their word was their bond. They never jerked me around. They never went back on what they were gonna do. You know, because a lot of this business also is on a handshake. Hey, you available on the first? Yeah, I'm available, I'll be there. I hang up the phone with you, I'm expecting you to be there. You know, not, oh, you know, my girlfriend wants to go, so I can't, like, no, we just, you know, there's contracts and all that too, but you have to be reliable and your word is everything. So I've been blessed to have guys like that. And shout out to my team. Like, I can't tell you how amazing they really are. Like, it's just not even put into words. I've been very blessed in that regard. As far as, you know, building a team, I mean, start with one or two, you know, and then if there's someone that you like or think that has potential, maybe someone younger that's coming up, hey man, you want to come to see what we're doing, see if you like it, like, just come check us out. Maybe you won't like it, but if you do, maybe you want to get down, you know. I was humble. I would go work with you for free just to see what it was about. It wasn't about money, it was about learning and growing and seeing if we could do stuff together, because collaboration is key right now. And I've just, I've got some really, really talented guys with me. And I talk about them when I talk about myself, but yeah, I would start with one and then just go from there.
Man, and that's amazing advice. You have an amazing team and it really starts from top down. You know, you're the founder and you were able to set that precedence of professionalism and quality and being able to represent your brand in the highest way possible. And you're able to attract like-minded individuals that share that same vision for your brand. And then you all have alignment to work together for the common goal of satisfying your customers. And with that, the team has been built and you guys are thriving and doing an amazing job. And it just sounds so great to hear you rave about your team and talk about them so highly. That's an amazing founder that doesn't brag about themselves, that really understands that without them, your business will not be prosperous. And you are a great leader, and keep on doing what you're doing. And I hope your team hears this interview as well, and are very thankful to have a leader that is doing a great job leading this company, Finer Touch Entertainment. And we're super excited to have you on the podcast, man. Before we go into our lightning round, I would love to have you, you know, highlight any pieces of advice you have for people that are looking to take their DJ business to the next level and create a full-fledged team around them or entertainment business.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of goes back to what I said before, you know, start small, you know, don't try to take over the world right away, but define who you are and what you want your brand to be and what you want your business to be. Where do you want to go? You know, because the other thing that happens is as you get older, personally, your tastes start to change, and your core market. You know, if I'm doing weddings when I'm, you know, 25, it's different than when I'm 35 or 45, because when I'm 45, your average bride is 30. So she's listening to different music. Her culture is different. What she wants is different. So if you're not able to adjust to that, you're going to have trouble. Right. So, but maybe that's okay. Maybe I'm 45 now and I want to play to 45-year-old people doing a certain kind of party. So as long as you define what lane you want to be in, just go there and do that and be great at it. You know, if you want to expand, that's great, but you don't have to. Maybe you don't want to do birthday parties and bridal baby showers. Maybe you want to do corporate. Just figure it out and then just go. And then the other stuff will kind of come along the way. And then, of course, you know, find a mentor if you have one. I'm always available to talk to DJs. I'm always available to talk to people about business. I do a little bit of business coaching, especially for DJs. If anyone's interested, they can always hit me up. And we can talk about it. But it's really just about building and growing together as an industry, man, and keeping it together and watching each other's back and being great together, you know.
Awesome advice. And what are some things that you're focused on now, and how can myself, the club, and our community and the listeners support and interact with you?
So our focus really right now is just getting back to business, you know, being off for a year. You know, and it sounds great when you start to build a big, busy business, but if you did 20 jobs in 2019 and, you know, 10 of those went away, okay, that kind of sucks. But if you did 150 and 140 of them went away, that really sucks. So it's kind of the bigger the business, the more the headache. And from the perspective of, it's more to deal with. So bigger is not always better. We're just trying to get back on pace and get all our clients from last year right, and then let everyone else know that we're here and we're ready to move forward. You know, I'm all about DJs and diversity, and let's network, let's work. I mean, I'm big on that. Networking with people from other states. Sometimes we go out of state, like if you're in, you know, Atlanta and I'm coming to Atlanta, I'll call you, hand me the sound system and lighting. Can you set it up for me? Because I already know you. So I'm going to put that money in your pocket. If I'm in Miami or if I'm in Cali, like a lot of times my guys will travel, you know, having those contacts. It just knowing me and me knowing you, put some money in your pocket, put some money, makes my life easier. So I think the networking is key. You know, I feel like this network would be great for that. And I'm excited to see what you guys are going to be doing. And I appreciate the platform and I appreciate the time.
Awesome. So let's jump into the lightning round. Are you ready?
I'll do the best I can.
Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
DJ setup, Pioneer Dex, QSC digital mixer. I personally run FBT speakers, tops and bottoms always. Chauvet, American DJ, intelligent lighting, and then, you know, a plethora of other extras and add-ons, but that's the core of it.
Who's your favorite DJ?
Who's my favorite? Wow, that's a hard one. So the one that I met meant the most to me was when I met Molly Mall, because he was everything to me growing up as a kid. So I have to say, you know, from a technical perspective, Jazzy Jeff, like, he just, you know, I met him too, and that was amazing.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at, and why?
Favorite party or event? So I got to do the ball drop locally here in White Plains some years ago, and I was up on stage by myself, and there was about 10,000 people in the street. And I'm somehow got up the courage to go on stage and do the cha-cha slide with 10,000 people. And looking back, I'm like, I don't even know how I did that. But I had to entertain these people before the ball drop. And it was a family-friendly thing, so we had to do a little bit of everything. So I think that was a pretty defining moment. And then did a wedding for DeBricka Shaw Ferguson, one of the New York Jets, you know, retired a few years ago. That was pretty awesome because all the Jets were in the room. And that was pretty awesome. As a kid, I was a Jet fan. So those are probably my two.
Who's the most interesting person you've met throughout your DJ career?
Interesting person. Wow. I don't know. That's tough. I've met a lot of really, really great people. I don't know. That's a hard one. I mean, I've had some conversations with DJs from around the country and around the world. They gave me insight and perspective that I just never would have thought. I can't really think of one offhand though.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
What's missing? Well, I think if it's the ease of use for the platform, and I guess connectivity, right? Because we've all tried the live stream thing during COVID, and I always found it was difficult to get my audience off of Instagram onto whatever platform I was using, or off of Facebook, and they were two different audiences. If I log on to Facebook, I can get 50 or 100 people immediately. If I log on to Instagram, same thing. But I can't get them to go anywhere else because it's too inconvenient. And it's really just one or two clicks, but for them, it's not already there. So I that's been our biggest struggle. No matter what, we could advertise it and click here and, you know, in my bio and all that business, but it's just, we haven't been able to convert them to the other platform.
And shout out to DJs that you know personally whose stories also need to be shared on this podcast.
I would say send a shout out to a couple of guys on my team, DJ Sparks. He's a Hot 97 Mix Show DJ, toured with Cardi B for 3 years. He's we call him a celebrity on our team. His journey is amazing, and he still remains humble. So definitely, you know, that's someone I think people would benefit from. Another guy in my squad, DJ Royal, we call him the energy god. Like, this guy's got energy like no one else. He'll DJ and MC your party. Like, you don't even need me, I go sit down. So there's him. Of course, you know, Brown Boy, my cousin, been on here before. Mike Music, another good friend of mine, very established in the wedding and entertainment industry. I mean, I could keep going, but those are some of the guys I think would be great.
Awesome. You can hear DJ Brown Boy episode 27, and any other DJ wants to be on the show can sign up at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
Yeah, for sure. So you can find us on Instagram at Finer Touch. That's FinerTouch. Check out our website, FinerTouchENT.com. A lot of great stuff there. More on my team. You know, if you want to join the team, if you want to just talk and politic and network, whatever, you know, just reach out. I'm here. I'm a full-time DJ. I love what I do. I love the industry. I love the business. And let's work.
Awesome, brother. This has been an amazing interview. I learned a lot, and I know my audience has as well. You really touched on the business aspect of creating an entertainment company around your business and your DJ skills. So kudos to you for what you've accomplished. Super proud of you, everything that you're doing, man. And thank you for being on the show. My people, please follow Mr. Finer Touch and his company, Finer Touch Entertainment. They're doing an amazing job, and you will learn a lot from following their journey. So thank you for spending time with us today. We really appreciate it and look forward to building with you in the future.
My pleasure. Likewise.